Good morning. We come together on this first Sunday in our Lenten season. This season of Lent lasts 40 days plus Sundays, right? If you're familiar with the liturgical calendar. And this is a time where we recognize that 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. And so often we look at this season as a time where we give up. Right? How many of you have ever given up something for Lent before? Anyone want to name anything they've ever given up? Sugar? Okay. Anybody else? Soda? Okay. And part of this giving up is to deprive ourselves of something we enjoy or something we need. I mean, Jesus' time of fasting, right? He literally went without all food. But it's a space where we can give up so that we can rely then on God. It should be something that's challenging and difficult, so we have to make room for the Spirit to move in, to overwhelm us, and to lead in to who God is. And so often I encourage folks to give up something, but then also take something on. Some new spiritual practice, whether it's a daily devotional or a time of reading scripture, or maybe it's giving extra to your church or to a local mission or charity. But whatever it is, it should remind us and reorient us toward that finale that comes at the end of the Lenten season, right? Which is Good Friday. Recognizing that Jesus gave up everything, even his own life, so that we might experience the fullness and the abundance of life everlasting, which is proven just a few days later, right? On Easter morning. We get to experience that this year, hopefully in person, right? Unlike last year where we sat at home and watched our Easter services. But we experience the fullness of resurrection, knowing that God provides the ultimate healing. And so in the midst of this season of Lent, I will be inviting you, if you haven't already selected something to give up, I would encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to take on a new spiritual practice. All of you got Lent at home bags, and in those bags, there's a weekly reflection guide. And so maybe that's a spiritual practice you can take on. Just going through and making those notes to yourself. Maybe it's a book that you've selected to read, or maybe it's just taking 5 minutes every day to pray and to center yourself upon God. So give up, take on. But also this season, we are going to be focused on this as a time of recovery, looking at all aspects of health, from physical health to emotional health, spiritual, mental, environmental, all sorts of ways that God is calling us to be restored. And all the places in Scripture where God provides healing. And so today we're going to start with physical health. How many of you have ever experienced some sort of physical ailment or some sort of illness? Anyone, everyone, right? We've all been sick. Now, some of us have experienced just those normal, everyday kinds of illnesses, whether it's the common cold or the flu, or maybe it's something more severe. Maybe some of you have had a lifelong chronic diagnosis, like diabetes or a heart condition, or maybe even cancer. Something that really is unique and requires that it's not just something that you're going to get over, right? But you have to have some sort of treatment to be able to be better. Now, in the biblical text, there are a multitude of stories where folks suffer from chronic physical illnesses, whether it's blindness, right? We've heard that story, the man who's blind and he can suddenly see. or folks who suffer from leprosy, or a whole host of other physical illnesses. There's also numerous stories in the Bible where folks are seen as dead or sleeping, and Jesus literally touches them, and they are restored back to life. We have the text where the woman who has been bleeding for years and years, she simply touches the cloak of Jesus, and suddenly she is healed. There is power in who Jesus Christ is. And Jesus has the power to fully restore us into whole and holy selves. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't know about you, but I've known many people who have been faithful people who have lost their lives to some sort of illness, right? Who have succumbed to whatever it is, whether it's cancer or some other disease. And so when we talk about healing in the Bible, yes, it's miraculous, and yes, I believe that Jesus has done these awesome and wonderful things. But part of physical health isn't just our bodies getting better. It's us being restored to who God created us to be, which is people who are called to be in community with one another and who are to be in relationship with God. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew over these next 6 weeks, and we start today in Matthew chapter 8. And this text occurs just after Jesus has taught and preached his beautiful sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he's preached about all sorts of things. He's offered the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are those who fill in the blank. He's taught about judging and about fasting and about all sorts of things that matter to the people. And then it says, when we come to our text for today, that he comes down the mountain. And we're presented with three different healing stories, three different instances of a miracle. And so we're going to look at the first of those three this morning. I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open them, you will find the words also on the screen. It is in our tradition that when we have a gospel reading that we stand, so I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we read the Gospel of Matthew. Hear now these words. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but first show yourself to the priest and offer a gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." The text goes on to several other healing stories, and then in verse 16, it picks up and saying, that evening, they had brought him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out spirit with a word, and he cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was researching this text, there's a commentary that N.T. Wright, he's a scholar and theologian, and he has this book. It's called Matthew for Everyone. And so it's really easy to read, but it is a biblical commentary. And so he gets into some of the Greek words and what it would have meant to the people in that time. And so he starts off when he enters into this verse in Matthew 8. He says, I want you to imagine maybe a time in your youth when you were at a party. No one here ever went to a party, right? Some of us. And he says, imagine that you hear a voice suddenly from the doorway saying, "Who's in charge?" And a policeman suddenly appears. and everyone stands still. It had been a wonderful gathering up to that point, maybe a bit rambunctious, but everyone was having great fun. And now, it appears that one of the neighbors had made a complaint about the noise. And so, the person whose house it was looked sheepish and said, "Well, nobody's in charge exactly, but it is my house." "Well," the policeman said, "I'm in charge now, and I'm telling you the noise must stop." And with that, he left. And the party was over. Now, I don't know about you, but if a police officer shows up at my doorstep and commands me to do something, I'm probably going to do it, right? Because they have authority, right? From their uniform to the gun on their hip to the handcuffs that are around their belt. Also knowing that they have a walkie-talkie and can call for backup at any time, right? I am no match for the power that comes from this authority. Now, N.T. Wright goes on, and he said, "But when Jesus came down the mountain, he didn't have a uniform. He didn't have a weapon. He didn't have anyone to back him up, no one to appeal to. But somehow he had authority. He had the power that when he said something, that created immediate action. And that is a power and authority that comes from God." We're told in the previous chapter that when Jesus was teaching, it says the crowds were astonished because when he taught, it was almost as if he looked like that policeman in the doorway. He had authority. Authority to make real and everlasting change in the lives of the community. And Jesus proved it. Jesus didn't just stop with words. Jesus continued with action. Real, meaningful, life-changing, get in the messiness of what is life and make real, transformative change. So when we get to this man with leprosy, Jesus makes it a point to heal him. Now, leprosy is a word that covers a whole host of skin diseases. It's not just about physical sickness and disfigurement, but it's also about social banishment. Leprosy is one of those conditions that's highly contagious. Sufferers in the time had to stay away from everyone else, in part because they didn't know a whole lot about it. And so no one approached them. No one would dream of touching them. And so when Jesus comes down the mountain and approaches this man, can you imagine the reaction that the crowds would have had? Not only is he going near him, not only is he speaking to him, but he's also touching him. And the man says, "If you choose, will you please make me clean?" And Jesus says, "I do choose. I do choose to restore you." I can imagine the amount of warmth and life that came over this man. No one had touched him for a long time, perhaps years. And in that moment, he was restored. And the text ends, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but first go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" It says that Jesus came, right, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so the leper needed not just physical healing, but he needed to be restored back into society. And so part of that meant a blessing from the priest. He wasn't able to go back home to his family and friends until the priest said, okay. And Jesus knew, he knew that tradition. And so he told him, don't go anywhere else. Go straight to the priest. Offer the gift that Moses commanded you, and then you may go on your way. He needed to be restored in the life and all of the life of society. Jesus says, I choose to do this for you. I choose to heal you. I choose to restore you. I choose to bring you back into the fullness of society. Jesus chooses this for us too. And also our neighbors out in the world who have so often been cast out, particularly from the church. I don't know about you, but sometimes the church can be a really mean and hateful place. Have you ever seen that happen? Sometimes the church feels more like four walls that leave people out than walls that bring people in. And so Jesus' authority calls us to change that behavior. It calls us to look at these four walls not as a place that shun people, but as a real sanctuary for the folks who are hurting the most. Just after this story in Matthew 8, we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. We compare ourselves to the disciples, right? Often. That Jesus gathered these disciples, and what Jesus gave them authority to do, then through the apostolic tradition, that therefore we also have been given the same call, the same authority. And so I believe that this is a message that's for us too, that Jesus gives us authority to drive out spirits and to heal disease and sickness. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never stood at someone, at the bed of someone who's had cancer, and just through my touch, suddenly they were restored, right? We believe that Jesus' healing power comes through the knowledge and wisdom that Jesus offers through medical professionals. But there's something about our part that matters. Jesus gives us too the power and authority to heal, namely through bringing people back into loving and covenant community. I have seen people who are healed, particularly when they are surrounded by folks, right? That they are able to be restored and come back to life. Maybe they still have their illness, but when they are surrounded by those they love, when they see the outreach of the arms of support, they're healed in some way, right? They're at peace. And this too is the call of the church, to recognize that when someone is hurting and broken, when someone is cast out and denied, that Jesus says, I choose you. I choose to bring you back in. Jesus has that authority. And each week we come to church and we say, Lord, yes. Lord, I worship you. We put up our hands and we sing with loud voices and we recognize the fullness of who God is. But I wonder if we come down the mountain into the places where people are hurting and broken, or if we just stand up on the mountaintops and we like to listen to pretty words and awesome scriptures, or if we'll be like Jesus and reach out our arms and take the authority that has been given to us to go out and to cast out and to cure and to heal. This is the message that Jesus is offering to us today. Will you take the authority, the power of Jesus Christ, and reach out to those who are hurting? in this time of COVID, that has been especially difficult. I don't know about you, because this is a time where we've been isolated. It's been easy to ignore those who are hurting because we just don't see them. But they're there. They're present. And their hurts are probably deeper than they ever have been. And so we're called to reach out. As we move into our ritual action for this morning, I want you to think of someone that needs healing. Someone that you could reach out to just to show the presence of Christ. In your Lent at home bags, if you're here in worship, when you leave this place, you can go grab those and do this at home with your families. If you're worshiping online, you can do this right now. But in your Lent bags, there is a small tile. It's either gray or white. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do with that this morning is to draw some sort of image on it that represents yourself. Recognizing that this is you, this is who God created you to be. And then I want you to break it. For safety reasons, I would encourage you to put it in a plastic bag right before you break it so it doesn't shatter everywhere. And then recognize the words of Jesus when he says, I choose to restore you. I choose you. You are a precious and holy treasure. But then also examine those broken pieces and notice that they have rough edges, just like us. We are broken. We need healing. We need God. And then I want you to take that piece, one of those broken pieces, and hold it in your hand. And pray for God's healing presence in your life. We're going to keep these broken pieces over the next several weeks, and we're going to do different things with them, so don't just discard them when you're done. Put it in a place where you can see it every day as a recognition that while we might be broken, we are also treasured by God. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, I give you thanks today for your word. And God, for the authority that you have offered to your disciples and to us to be your agents of healing in the world. God, we know miraculous things happen when our faith is strong. God, let us lean into that faith. Let us know that anything is possible through you. And God, for those who are cast out and shut out and ignored, let us be your hand reaching out to them. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.